Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome in, Ravens fans. I'm Glenn Martin here with another live draft reaction day two, round two, for 410 Sports Talk. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate everyone who's tuning in. As Jimmy jumps in, and I'm already live because I just am so hype and excited. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have yet to see that tackle run. I thought it was about to happen, I thought it was starting. Pick 55 when Patrick Paul out of Houston gets taken to Miami. I thought we were going to start to see the dominoes dropping and falling, and I was getting nervous. But then I see an edge go. Then I see another edge go. Now a safety goes. Jimbo, full disclosure, you're going to have to pull up PFF because I don't know if I can resist blowing this for you, because I'm going to try not to, but look, sometimes they're too far behind, Jimbo. Where are we at? Okay, they're two picks back, dude.
Where are you looking on PFF?
There's a lot. As soon as you sign in, it says live draft tracker right in the center of the screen. Click on that. Or if you can't find it there, go to NFL draft and you'll see draft tracker 2024 at the bottom under the NFL draft drop down. Yeah, pull that up. Pull that up because I already know who. Yeah, I'm already two picks ahead, dude. So that's why I had to jump on here. I kind of was in a rush. So at the top, you see the NFL draft, and you can hover over it, and an arrow will pop up. Jimbo?
Yeah.
Put on the draft tracker, 2024.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And then hit go to latest, and it'll whoop. Oh, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So Chris Braswell out of Alabama goes 57 to Tampa, which is a good pick for them. They needed certainly some help in the edge department. Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia, goes 58 to the Green Bay Packers.
Pardon me that I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
It's all good. I just got done smashing some food myself. So,
nice. Dude, this is vintage. You see this? Got to dip it in the milk, bro.
Oh, I know how you roll, dude. You don't mess around. I will say one of my guys just – 59, I just lost one of my guys. I lost my second round mock guy.
Wait, 59, I'm not on 59. Let me go to latest for him. 59, I'm still 58 on the website.
Nah, 59 just went, dude.
You really liked him too.
I did. I think he just...
Hey, my guy that everyone trashed me for.
Oh, that's right. They did trash you for that. Only because of that. Because everybody likes the guy. I just didn't think there was any chance.
But look, here he is.
You're right. Those damn Eagles, they get Quinyon Mitchell and they get Cooper DeJean when they need secondary help. That's all right. They haven't fixed the biggest problem on their team. Personalities.
Oh.
They seem to all hate each other halfway through.
The name of their GM? Is it Howie Roseman?
Yeah.
He's good.
He is good. He is good. But the question is, can Nick Sirianni keep those personalities in check?
Because I think they have the wrong head coach, for real.
Exactly. Because after 10 weeks, they look like world beaters, and then they just completely imploded. And, yeah, it's got to be just a I don't think they forgot how to play football. I think it was more of a personality thing. But having said all that, okay, right now, where are you – I'm assuming you're talking Kingsley. That's who you're hoping?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I guess I didn't mention it, but I'm hopeful that – Kingsley's still sitting there. He's the one I've been looking at as this list starts to fall.
Yeah. You
know, we saw that cornerback run, which was great. We saw that D tackle run, which is fine with me. Like you said, anything to push the offensive tackles down.
Yeah.
I'm all right with. And so I agree with you. It's painful to see your guy gone. But
yeah,
the added benefit to Kingsley is that he's played both already. And so, you know, I know that your ideal situation, which I agree with, was have a guy come in year one, play right tackle, mm-hmm. knowing good and well that the following year he's going to play his primary position, is what we'll call it, at left tackle, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if anyone fits the bill right now better than him for that role.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yale's tackle, Karen, dude, there's a lot of tough names in this draft, bro. Like, it's insane how many tough ones there are. But Karen, the big tackle out of Yale, 6'5", 318, not the biggest, but, you know, I think certainly has enough size to get it done at that position. But I think he's up there. You know, he's pretty highly, touted when it comes to PFF has him slightly higher than Kingsley. But yeah, I want Kingsley, dude, because I love the meanness about him. Like,
well, I think the thing that's underrated, as much as people have talked about it, I think it's still underrated.
Yeah,
he's athletic as can be.
Yeah, he just like needs
this
a little
kid
bit.
Can move mm-hmm. for a big boy. I don't think we'll have those issues like we have with Ben Cleveland, even Falele, who I think is uber athletic. He just needs to work
so
on
so huge,
so big, right? He's so big.
Well, I will say one thing: DraftPlex stepped up and did a day two mock draft today, which is something he doesn't typically do mm-hmm. because it's not part of the competition. But he mocked a guy that you had coming to the Ravens in a previous mock draft, Christian Haynes.
The guard, right?
Who's the best rated? Yep, best rated guard. Yep. in the draft class. And look, if they end up going, it's the question is, how do you have these guys ranked on? You know, how did they have these guys ranked on their board? Because
Eric
according
kept
to
using
this
the
board,
word covet, right? Like, who do you covet more?
Right, and of course, it's different between each talent evaluator. You're not going to see the same top 100 or position rankings. But according to this, you can either have the 10th or 11th best rated tackle, because we know a record number went in the first round.
Yep.
Or you can have the best guard in the draft in Christian Haynes. And so when you look at it like that, it's like, it almost makes too much sense to take the guard. But tackles are just so damn valuable, Jimbo, that if you believe in a guy, it's just – that's the pick. I mean, it's got to be the pick because – Falele, I like him. It's just I wonder, can he ever improve his foot quickness enough to where it needs to be to handle these edge guys in the
north? And I think not just that. I think systematically, from when he got drafted, if I'm not mistaken, our offense has changed.
Yeah.
Or it's not systematically, excuse me, schematically.
Right.
Right? To where, like, I felt like with Greg Roman, it was – I mean, yeah, guys pull and things like that, but it was about the road grader where I – look, I could be – maybe I'm not the best film guy. I don't know if I'm going to sound stupid saying this, but I feel like our tackles. No, this is absolutely correct. We throw the ball a ton more. They're back on the heels away. You know, they're doing a different thing than they were before, where they're moving forward, moving the guys in front of them, where run blocking was their primary job, right? Where it's a different scenario. I mean, goodness gracious, we run the ball 6 times in the AFC Championship game. So we're obviously a throwing football team.
Yeah.
So we probably need some more athleticism, some more speed on the outside, not just sheer power. While we're waiting, I also wanted to say that good pick on the Utes, the Bills, Cole Bishop, one of those sneaky athletic guys, Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah.
How I was talking about how in Idaho, they got a ton of, you know, Taysom Hill and Van Der Esch. There's like this strain of ridiculous athletic people.
Yep.
Cole Bishop is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's a freak. And if I'm not mistaken, they lost Poyer and their other safety, didn't they?
They lost. Yeah, they did. Yep.
I think one in consecutive years, one in 1 year and then one. And then
it was Poyer. A big loss. Like, they felt that
so
loss.
I think he comes in and he contributes right away. He's got a high floor and a solid ceiling. I think that's a good pick for them. And I'm glad they didn't take a tackle, because I also need – they need some offensive line help. But one other thing, Glenn, I got to tell you really quickly while we're waiting for this pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got one pick away. Well, I'll tell you after this pick. Dude, I got a new recipe, a new rendition of my peanut butter jelly sandwich, dude.
This guy.
It's absolutely fire.
Is it? Okay. Oh.
Well, Tanya's bashing.
By the way, hold on.
It's existed for a long time. What's up?
The Ravens are on the clock.
They're on the clock. That's why I was going to wait. But
the
Lions at 61 took Ennis Rakeshaw Jr., who's the cornerback So Kingsley is available.
Kingsley's available. Like I mentioned earlier, Kieran out of Yale, the tackle, is available.
Who do you like? Who do you like out of the two?
I mean, I like Kingsley for sure. Mm-hmm. I definitely would rather have Kingsley. I think the upside is higher. I mean, you got to love a guy who's just absolute. I mean, he's just, first of all, he's huge. I mean, he's a big boy, and you like that. He's got good length. He's mean, and I just think he just is a little bit raw. And I believe in raw players coming here, especially on the offensive line, because I think we got the best offensive line coach in football in Big Joe D. So bring on a raw, uber talented player and let Joe D get his hands on him and see what he can turn him into. My only question is, can he get him, you know, up to starter quality by week one? That's the only real question. But I guess when you do have McCary and Falele, you don't necessarily have to have that guy.
You can always rotate. They've been doing that whole thing. But I got to ask you this, though, too, Glenn, before this pick is made, how frustrated are you going to be if they don't go somewhere on the offensive line with this pick?
Oh, that would be shocking.
Yeah.
Because I think they got what they wanted. There wasn't a huge run. So, I mean, unless they were dead set on a guy like Blake Fisher and don't believe in, or Patrick Paul and don't believe in any of the other guys, then I think that they're happy with how it fell. I would assume, but you know, I'm not in the room. So yeah, I mean, but man, this is exciting. All right. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to look at PFF on here.
No, we're going to wait.
Do you want to wait?
Oh dude, I'm down to wait.
The chat's going to ruin it though.
Well then let's just roll with it.
Okay. What does that mean?
Like let's use PFF and go with it.
All right, cool. Cause I don't want to, it's a shame that the TV just can't keep up, man. Or like they don't let, if they would just not let it leak, you know, it'd be nice. It's right. Better than it used to be though. Remember, it was ridiculous, bro. Like they had the guy, but
dude,
on TV,
this kid, so. Cole Bishop, dude, like can him? Lay the wood. Okay. Like he'll smack you into tomorrow rock. One of those type guys. He's a good player. They got a good pick here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see here. I'm talking about him because he's obviously on the TV, but
let's see here. Oh man, I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous. Yeah, dude, I'm nervous. Come on, just pop up. Just tell me, dude. I noticed that PFF rated the Ravens first round pick as very good, which was shocking because I kept seeing not good. Like I kept seeing grades. It was like average, not good. Then I was like, oh, let me go see what they gave them. Very good.
Right.
No surprise. It's what they do. It's just what they do.
It's true. Oh, man. Dude, the Ravens are making us wait, dude.
I love it. Make me sweat it out, dude. Build up the drama. And if they don't go offensive tackle, where are they going, Jimbo? Oh! It dropped!
Did it? Okay.
I don't know why I didn't even think of this guy, dude. Because this is one of the guys' draft players. One of the three guys' draft players brought up last
night. All right, well, we got a tackle. That's a good thing.
We got a tackle. Roger Rosengartner.
No, I don't like what I'm reading.
What are you reading? Tell me what you're reading.
He's worthy of a day three flyer as a developmental athletic offensive tackle. He lacks power necessary to survive at the NFL in his current state. I guess we just talked about this. We got runway because we don't need to come in and have him play right away.
Right.
But
let me see that. Let me see. Cause at, where are you looking at? What?
That was just, I clicked on his name on PFF.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That was just like the first look thing that they pop up on PFF. That was his description.
Well, let me see here. What our guy Draftplex. Interesting. Yeah. So Draftplex had him as a firm round two selection ahead of Kieran of Yale, ahead of Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, ahead of Patrick Paul out of Houston, who we saw go way earlier.
Yeah.
And only one spot behind Kingsley. So he did like Kingsley better and had him as a 1-2 guy, but had Roger right on his heels as a firm second round pick. So it'll be interesting to see.
Now it looks like his pass grade, his pass block grade is very high. You know, maybe that obviously it's way higher than his run block grade. It's at 80.8 his pass block and 58.9 his run block. So, I mean, obviously, we just talked about this, we're a passing team. We've got a draft.
Well, I don't know if I'm willing to say we're a passing team here.
We ran the ball in the lowest amount of attempts in history in the AFC Championship game. But we're a passing team.
I mean, in one game, that's a small sample.
The only reason we lead the league in rushing is because of number 8. Like, let's be honest. At this point, it's because of 8. It's not because of our...
Yeah, but we still threw the ball the second less in the league. Second least of in the full season.
Did it
season.
Feel that way to you?
Well, it didn't feel that way in the AFC Championship game, but it did in the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a fundamental shift for sure with Monken in comparison to Greg. Like, that's
fair. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I guess that's as far as I'll go then. I mean, I think that being a pass blocker is more important now than it was with Greg, where Greg was like, we ain't passing the ball forward anyway. We'll pitch it backwards. Have him run. He's playing rugby out there. So what else do you know about this kid? Let's see.
So it says here that Rosengardner. Here we go. Okay. Trying to see what some of his. Okay. So he's incredibly athletic, which is pretty cool to see. He's ranked as far as his athletic, his RAS rating, his athleticism rating was a 9.19 out of possible 10, which ranks him as 113th out of the 1,377 offensive tackles that have been drafted since the year I was born. That's interesting that that's the so I'm going to throw this up here, Jimbo, so you can take a look at what I'm looking at.
I'm just sorry. I'm just watching the –
Well, I like the fact. Oh, it's our guy, Helody.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I want to see what they. If that's cool, I want to see what they say about him.
Go for it.
There we go. That's cool that he's making the pick because he played for Detroit. Let's go, Helody Nata.
There he goes. All right, look, this. I'm just going to throw it up on the screen here.
Oh, yeah.
While we listen. But all right, as you can see here, let me scroll down. Man, it's awfully loud in the background, Jimbo. What's going on?
Mine?
Yeah, super loud.
Does this make a difference?
Nah, it sounds like there's a bunch of people talking around you.
There are a bunch of people talking right now.
Yeah, you might want to. Got like really.
I'll do
loud.
My best. Gotcha. Hey, sweetie, can you just turn down a little bit?
Here we go.
You can talk. Just
yeah, it just got really loud. All right, so as you can see here, this guy is pretty elite when it comes to just athleticism. His size, his position. Like I said, he ranked. Let me see here. It just popped up on the screen here. As you can see here, look, he ranked 113th, Jimbo, out of 1,377 tackles since the year I was born. So elite athleticism at that position, which I think we certainly are looking for that. We want to be able to move the tackles, make sure they can get to the next level and possibly even the third level. But the fact that this is a scale out of you know, 0 to 10 and he got a 9.19, I think is pretty damn impressive. So I like hearing that at least he has those things you can't, like, I don't know how much you can't coach or teach athleticism. You can cultivate it to some degree, but you certainly can't just create more athleticism. So that's a good starting point. The question is, how raw is his technique and how quickly can he be a participant? Jason, why are you not in here?
Yeah, I know, right? No,
I
we
see
appreciate
Jason in the chat, but you know.
Yeah, shout out to Draftplex in the chat there. Saying that, look, Rosengarten was never making it out of round 2. Don't listen to whoever you were reading. That's good to know. I mean, I hope that he can come in and contribute more than what some people are expecting him to do early. Something that they mentioned on the TV that I actually think is astute and worth considering is that while he's the right tackle, he's the blind side for Penix because Penix is a lefty. And so there's a lot more weight and pressure and a lot more, not that right tackle isn't important, but I mean, the blind side is the blind side. The left tackle is the highest paid for a reason, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, unless you have a lefty like Penix.
Right. So my point is that, like, you know, a lot was put on his plate. You know, they depended a lot on him. And so and he obviously played well in big moments that mattered a lot. So I think that's encouraging for me. I mean, that means a lot to me. Like I said, we haven't done a ton of research. These are just some preliminary things that I'm thinking about.
I mean, if I would have told you they'd end up with a lockdown. Oh, look, there goes Kingsley. Kingsley goes the very next pick to the Chiefs. So, hey, look, they certainly know a lot more talent evaluation. They're a lot better at talent evaluating than us here. And so they could have picked Kingsley, they went with this guy. So that tells me that they believe this guy is the better player, the better prospect. So, hey, I'm good with it, man. I'm excited about it. I would love to hear. I'm going to obviously do more. You know, we're going to dig deeper and find out more about this guy. Just as a quick programming note, we do already have someone who covers, I think, John Blau, who covers the Clemson Tigers, who joined us last year when we drafted Trenton Simpson. He's going to join us again tomorrow night to give us give us the lowdown on all things Nate Wiggins and tell us everything we need to know. It was pretty cool. We saw when Nate arrived at the castle today at the facility, he was greeted by Trenton Simpson waiting for him at the front door, it's got to be nice to see a familiar face, a friend waiting for you as you're going to a new place. But I don't know if you guys had a chance to look into much of Nate Wiggins, but let me tell you, this kid has a massive chip on his shoulder. This guy, and that's what you need from corner. Like, say what you want about Jalen Ramsey, but his unwavering confidence in himself helps make him what he is as a player. Like, as a cornerback, you got to be so confident in your ability and this guy is certainly that. He came in. I mean, I love to see his emotion when he got the call from Eric DaCosta. He's telling him, you're getting the best. I'm telling you, you are getting the best. I think this guy is a dog. I loved all the draft videos, stuff they put together that kind of gave us a little bit of peek into who this guy is and the emotions he was going through. Man, I'm excited about Nate Wiggins. And look, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to dig into some Roger Rosengarten tape and see what this guy's all about and try and get a feel for his personality. We'll also reach out to someone who covers the Washington Huskies.
And I think we've had someone on before, too, from there, I think.
Probably.
But the only thing I'll say, too, is I bet you, Glenn, this is my early guess, what made the difference between him and Kingsley is the opportunities that he got to play against big-time competition in the college football playoff. Like, that he must have put on really good tape, because obviously there was certainly consideration between the two. I mean, I think that's undeniable. But having that tape and him playing well in those moments must have set it over the top. Just me outside looking in, right? Like, just sitting on an armchair, I'd be willing to bet that made all the difference for him and the Ravens saying, all right, we're going with this guy and not Kingsley. Not that Kingsley's not worthy of the pick, but this guy's just,
well, he's just super athletic, bro. Like Cam 52 points out. Like, I'm kind of like glossing over the fact that we're staring at a screen that says a guy that size ran a 4.9 240.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
I mean, what are you, dude? Look at that. Qualifies him on a 0 to 10 rating scale there. 9.76. RAS. This dude
can move.
I mean, holy sugar, it's 6'6", 300 plus. He can run a 4.9. Jimmy, honestly, am I running a 4.9?
No, there's no chance. No, sorry. I just think that you got long strides, dude. Sorry.
Like, no, you're right. I'm not. Right. So that means a guy that size is dusting me. Yeah. That's insane.
Belly and all.
Dude, that's... I don't know how much belly he's got if he's moving like that.
That's true. That's fair.
You know?
Yeah, like, no, I think it's a great pick. I'm really excited about this kid. We had to get an O-lineman. We got a tackle. Did you spontaneously generate Jason?
You see how this happened? You see, I didn't even tell you.
Hey, that's hilarious.
Jason in here, man. Let me get Jason. Jason's just the – I mean, are you kidding me? This guy is the best. This guy's a legend here. So
hey, JJ Redick at the free throw line, dude.
That's right. From DraftFlex, the GOAT, Jason Pruitt, joins the show once again. Jason, how you doing tonight? You get some sleep?
4.5 hours or so.
Look at him. Right back at it. Right back at it. My God. So, look, as Jimmy read, you heard him read what PFF had to say. Said this guy's a day 3 flyer. So, tell us why they are very wrong.
Well, I think you saw that just even early on. Like, I think the first time he popped up on everybody's radar was Mel Kiper put him at 31 in a first-round mock, like, months ago. And usually he'll put stuff in early and floats it out there. And it's legit. Like, I don't think he was ever going the first round, but it gets, you know, people talking, it gets people looking at the tape. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that he was going to make it as a day three flyer, that to me is just like, you get into 5, 6, 7 when you start taking undrafted players just so that you don't have that scramble after the draft. This guy's firmly day two, and certainly, like, I had him around two. He wasn't never – San Francisco traded away from 63. They were taking Rosengarten. And I think I actually had them in, like, an earlier kind of pass at a two or three – like a day two mock that they were going to trade up for him earlier for that reason that they would get sniped. And that's exactly what happened here.
Dang. So you now I see you still had him ahead or behind Kingsley by one slot on your final position rankings. He ends up going the very next pick to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the Ravens decided that like why not Kingsley and why Rosengarten?
Well, I think you mentioned before, I think Kingsley probably needs a little bit more development, and you know, y'all were just talking about it now where the competition, like having the opportunity to kind of get tested, and he got tested in the national championship game. And I don't mm-hmm. think it was always pretty, but you know, guys have a bad game. Penix goes number 8. I don't think he played very well in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got to take the whole body of work. And I think, you know, there's certainly, you know, positive things about wanting to take him here. And especially at the end of the second round, like I said, he was never going in the first round, but in the second round where you're looking for somebody that's still starter quality, probably doesn't have the ceiling as somebody you would want to take in the top 5 or top 10, but certainly would come in. And, you know, I think he probably will be the starter at right tackle.
Wow. And do you see him as a guy who could, after a year at right tackle, transition to left tackle and, you know, be serviceable?
I don't think so. I think he's going to be a right tackle. I think he'll probably, mm-hmm. you know, hope for the best this year. You know, like we mentioned last night, like this class is very right tackle heavy, and the idea of switching these guys over outside of a couple of them probably isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you hope for the best. You maybe look at next year's class, possibly right. free agency, depending on how that goes. But I think for this year, you're probably, you know, you've got your right tackle, and you hope that that's going to be, you know, solidified moving forward.
Now, Amen. One question I got to ask you as we move on to the – not to immediately move on ahead, but it's kind of how this thing works, right? The train keeps moving.
Yeah.
I still think the Ravens at pick 93, right, Glenn? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 93, this is their last pick inside the top 100. I still think they need to address the offensive line, in my mm-hmm. opinion, based on their needs. I think taking another crack there is their best move. I know a lot of people want to see wide receiver, but we have three holes. Drafting one guy is not going to plug – you know, all those needs that we have there.
Yeah.
So do you, from an interior offensive lineman perspective, how have you seen the board fall so far? Are there still a lot of guys out there that you like? Ooh. And do you see at that 93 spot some guys that
can Cooper get there?
There would be value there.
I want a different Cooper. I don't want Cooper DeGene anymore. I want a different Cooper. Yeah.
A lot of people talking about
in
the chat.
Maybe might get there. I actually, in the day two mock, I gave y'all Brandon Coleman, mm-hmm. Offensive tackle. He could slot into guard. And I know that, like, Senior Bowl guy and Jim Nagy has been talking him up over the course of the you know, the cycle here towards the end as being somebody that should go on day two. And so he's from TCU, and I think he does have that position flex. Now, he is a left tackle, so mm-hmm. You know, if he could continue to grow into that role, you know, I think that could be a possibility there. Another guy is Dominic Puny, who, you know, mm-hmm. has some position flex, but again, coming from a left tackle, he may not have that projecting moving forward. But if he had to in a pinch, I think he could do it. I think both of those guys will see them go here. You know, if y'all don't take one of them, I think they're both going, you know, in the next 35 picks in third round. So, mm-hmm. both of them are there. We mentioned Christian Jones last night. A lot yep. of experience. Probably not a high ceiling player, but certainly, you know, very quality and starter level, I think. And then there's another guy into the fourth round, Javon Foster from Missouri. I know there's some people that are higher on him, maybe as being a top 100 type pick, but he's a good player too. So, I mean, and he's a left tackle. Mm-hmm. So there are still a few options there. If you want to do bookend tackles, here, cause y'all have got 90, you got 113. Mm-hmm. I think one of those picks, you'd be in good shape.
Now, do you, Jimmy, this is more of a question for you. Do you think this pick is more like maybe they're okay with getting a guy who's just a right tackle and fixing that position rather than, because look, they tried it with Orlando Brown Jr. and he whined himself out and ended up becoming a left tackle elsewhere. Do you think they're just like, look, we're not drafting a guy who's going to eventually try and say, I'm a left tackle when we feel they're best at right tackle. So let's just go get a guy who we think is only going to consider himself a right tackle in this league and just fix that position for the next decade.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. I think Jason brought up a good point. I think what they do with this is they go to the end of their rope with Ronnie Stanley and then look forward to next year for that spot, right? As I think how they see it going. Now, one thing to consider, Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've seen Falele play some left in a pinch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
So they have options there. Who knows mm-hmm. what he decides to develop into if they want to try and, spend more time over there with him on the left side. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to your answer, I think they kicked the can down the road here. And Eric's like, well, I'll address it when I have to. Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I'm going to throw one other name in there. Somebody brought it up in the chat. And I just want to mention this because I know, and this is a player that the evaluations have been kind of up and down the board. I saw him late in a lot of top 100s as Matt Goncalves from Pitt. Okay. Left tackle, he was hurt most of this year with a toe injury. So he missed a lot of the pre-draft process. But a lot of people are very high on him. I couldn't get a read on him just because of the injury. And, there's always a discount associated with that. We talked about that with Voorhees from last year, mm-hmm. who was at least in the top 100-ish conversation. And some people had him much higher than that. He could be an option, based on kind of some of the people that I've seen that have him high. I think Jeremiah had him high. A couple of other people, that's a third round possibility, if not certainly early tomorrow.
Now, I got to ask you about another name because I had him in our mock draft at this point, Glenn. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember where I took him. I think with our first pick with.
Is it Sautu?
Yeah.
You had him as the third round pick. Yep.
The third. Okay. I wasn't sure if I went third or fourth. I couldn't remember. But now I think a lot of people. What'd you say?
LaMea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of Utah, the guard. Yep. The reason I took him, I think a lot of people, some people I think would see it that as a stretch in the third round. Mm-mm. But I see him as he's a four-year starter, really dependable. Kind of like you were talking about before, I think he has a high floor. He still has a lot to work on, but I think he can come in and once again, fill a need day one. I mean, he's a well-disciplined football player on a solid offensive line in college, generally one of the best offensive lines in college football, certainly in the Pac-12 every year. So the fact that he was starting on that team for 4 years, I think says a lot about his ability. What's your take on him?
Yeah, we talked about him on one of the shows that you weren't on. And I mentioned before I saw him anywhere and I just kind of got in the tape. I watched this guy's that's a third round guard to me. So I'm right there with you. I think, I don't want to draw the comparison, but it's like if you want Fuaga in the first, you could get LaMea in third and get not maybe an equivalent player, but somebody that's a tick underneath that. And I think he's a starter.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Look at you, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Look at you.
He knows.
He knows. Hey, is this, I'm seeing, looks like Legend in the chat put up that Rosengarten gave up zero sacks in 1,200 pass reps.
Goodness gracious.
I'd have to look at
what does the beast say?
That's about what I was gonna say. If we're getting into that, I'd have to lean towards the beast. Not seeing that specifically called out. That's a pretty distinctive stat if it was the case. So I'm not sure that'd probably should be validated.
Yeah. We have to send this to the analytics department and see if they can verify this claim. But
I haven't been following it super close. Is it the first running back off the board?
No, second, I believe.
First.
Is this Benson?
Is this the first? I thought this was the second.
Brooks went to the Panthers ahead of Dallas because that was who. And I was like, I don't know what they're doing in the second round.
Yeah. Steven says, looking for reassurance after watching highlights. No way is this Gurley blocking Myles Garrett or Watt. Or maybe I know absolutely nothing about football. Ha ha.
I'm not impressed. Steven was not impressed with his highlights. Wow. Okay.
That's rough.
Whose highlights? Were you watching the defensive players' highlights?
So you were impressed with his tape, it sounds. Okay.
I won't call myself impressed, but the way that I kind of look at this stuff is like, again, watching a player and it's like, where would somebody draft this player? Mm-hmm. A lot more people do a lot more homework on tape, and you know, obviously Dane Brugler, like, I trust what he puts out there. Jeremiah puts the stuff. I trust what Mel does, even if everybody thinks he doesn't do the work. Like, he's still very, very good at this, and he's the godfather, and I trust that. Like I said, I wouldn't take the guy in the first round, but in the second, in this class, you know, like, I think that's a good place to take him, especially based on who's left. If you need a tackle, he's getting to the point where, like, you're not going to have, you know, anymore, especially once you get into third round. I don't think you're waiting until 93 and getting a right tackle starter at this level. We talked about the few names, but again, I'm expecting most of them to go here before you get all the way to the end. And then you're looking more so to guard, or more reaching into the fourth. Like, we talked about Caden Wallace last night, and I think he might be the last one.
Yeah. Now I just want to back up the stat that was in the chat, which has to be correct only because according to PFF, I'm just reading their Twitter account, says that Roger Rosengarten didn't allow a single sack in his college career, 78.6 PFF grade since 2022.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it. Yeah, he had 610 pass block snaps in 2022 and 625 in 2023. Zero sacks allowed. So that's
impressive stuff.
I mean, to give up zero sacks, over 12.
They're throwing the ball a lot, too.
A lot.
Yeah.
And they're a vertical team, if I'm honest. It wasn't like he was just dinking and dunking, right?
Coleman just went here at 67.
Yep.
There he goes. So are we going to start to see that run on guards now?
Right.
I think you are. I think third round's going to be the run. And I think there's even a couple more that could sneak in there. Isaiah Adams, I know from, I believe, Illinois, people had him pegged for third round, possibly. Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, possibly going here too. So, I mean, you could get a pretty good run on guards here going on, aside from the names we've talked about, you know, like Haynes and Mahogany, BB, all of those guys. We're going to probably start seeing them fly off the board now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so if they don't go offensive guard here, Jimbo, are they going edge, wide receiver? What's or run? Some people are saying, hey, add a running back. Why not? We may only have Derrick Henry for 1 year. What's your thoughts on if
that's
they
crazy
don't go
to me,
interior?
Only because how many times have we gone to the well from the times of Priest Holmes? Mm-hmm. And then you can add that, you know, you can add multiple guys to most recently with Keaton Mitchell, to Gus Edwards, and there on in between. How many times have we done this without using a draft pick?
Yeah.
Like, you talk about the Godfather, Jason. I mean, I don't know if there's a better undrafted guy. Glenn, I'm not mistaken, right? Priest Holmes was undrafted, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, that still blows my mind.
Yeah. I remember him from playing at Texas down here. So, I mean, that you know, I didn't – not that I was doing this back then, but, like, when you see that happen and then he turns into the player that he did, like, I don't know who saw that, but if he was undrafted, then nobody did. And that happens. Oddly enough, you probably get more production out of players that end up being undrafted than you do on day three.
Yeah, that's right.
At least it's probably comparable, but
yeah.
All right. Well, I got to jump off, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
If I'm available later for 93, I'll try to hop on.
Cool, man.
Appreciate you, Jason.
Good drafting.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Good appreciate luck, you, buddy.
Steven. All right. We'll see you.
Man. Jason's the best. I appreciate him. Absolutely. But I think what we're going to do is I think we are going to take a break and then jump back.
Yeah.
when 93 gets a little bit closer. We're going to take a bit of a step out, and then we'll be back in. So, guys, make sure you're back with us. We'll probably, hopefully, we'll have, you know, Jason or somebody else who can come on and give us a little bit more of an in-depth breakdown. But I'm also going to take this opportunity to go look and see what I can find out of Roger Rosengarten, see if I can see either what Steven was seeing, which was not impressing him, or go take a look at, you know, why Jason had him firmly in the second round and said that, you know, this guy was a really nice pick. So I'm going to go
look. We're going to be back here. So like Glenn said, we're only taking a break. We'll be back. So make sure you guys stay tuned, turn your notifications, things like that. So, you know, when we go live again, we'll be here. Yeah, man. Looking forward to it though.
We'll be back.
See you guys soon. Let's go Ravens.
Yes, sir.